This is the John Clayton Show.
Brought to you by Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer.
On 710 ESPN Seattle.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Greg in Ballard. Hey, Greg.
Hey, John. Good morning. How are you
good
doing?
Good morning. Doing well.
Hey, I'm just going to kind of go around the horn because I haven't talked to you in a few weeks. And, you know, you've had a lot going on with yourself and all the NFL stuff. And first off, like everybody else, I just want to say, well, you know, it must have been quite an honor to get the Keith Jackson Award. You know, Keith Jackson was one of my heroes when I was a young boy with watching the NFL. I started watching the NFL when I was like 4 or 5, and his voice really changed the, you know, gave me a real good outlook on football and life, and how humble he was too, just like you, John, and how he called the game. It was just so amazing to hear his voice. You knew, kind of like your voice, John, when you get on the radio, you just know immediately who it is, and it was just, you know, he will be sorely missed. And so congratulations on that award.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yeah, it must have been a great honor.
It really was. Just kind of a magical night. And again, something you didn't expect. You know, all of a sudden I get the notification. It's like, hey, you've won the Keith Jackson. It's like, oh, my heavens. Are you kidding? Remarkable.
That is just, I mean, wow. It kind of leaves you speechless, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah, well, no, I thought what was better, even better, John, is that you told us that that you didn't prepare a speech.
No, I did not.
I thought that was just amazing, you know, and because I don't know if I would have been able to do that, you know, I would have been pretty nervous, but boy, I'm sure you handled it real well, and I didn't get to listen to it, but what an honor. Well, hey, listen, I got a bunch of stuff to talk about, and first off, you know, I think I've talked to you about this once before, and it just seems like lately that in the last few years, so much things have changed with the outlook of sports and, you know, what happens to the players, you know, social media, you know, cell phones. It's I was thinking about that while I was listening to you and you know, thinking about the days of the 70s and the 80s when the players, you know, were in the league at that time. And,
mm-hmm.
and now, how it is, how it's so much different just because of the salary increase and the media, and you can't really say anything or do anything without someone knowing about it on their phone.
Right. Oh, yeah. And social media has changed so much because now so much information is available that you never had before, and it moves so quickly. I mean, you saw yesterday the story that involved, you know, one of my colleagues, Ron Borges from the Boston Globe. He ends up getting, you know, suspended because on social media, WEEI caller ends up texting or getting him information that acting as if it was Don Yee, the agent, and he put it out. Obviously, he was wrong and got himself in trouble. But again, that's how fast things go. And with that quick information and knowing people want it quickly, I mean, you've got to react very quickly.
Yeah. Yeah, it's might be time to contact his lawyer. You know, I also so here's another thing. I have to talk about this, you know, while I have the chance. And I have to tell you, I've been an avid Mariner fan since, you know, I honestly kind of, you know, I used to watch the Mariners when I was a kid, but I kind of jumped on the bandwagon too around 93, 94. When they were getting hot, and you know, I've watched them since then, and that's been, you know, since 93, 94, mm-hmm, it's been quite a while. And I'm really disappointed and frustrated with the moves that it seems like the Mariners have not made. I do like the move they made with D. Gordon. I think he will be an improvement on both sides, but I was miffed that with how many injuries we had last year, especially in the rotation.
Right.
That, why, I mean, do you really honestly look at the Seattle Mariners rotation right now, John, and are thinking, wow, those guys, those 5-6 guys are going to last the whole year and into the playoffs? I don't think so. I mean, let's look at it realistically. James Paxton's your starter. We all know that. He's our first guy. He'll be there for a while. He'll probably be good, bearing some injury. But, you know, besides that, who do we really have? I mean, you know, I really don't think Felix is you know, I think he's definitely on his way out. And I don't think he should be even in the starting rotation anymore. I think he should be more of a reliever or a bullpen. I think that might be better for him because he doesn't have to throw his arm out so much, you know. And I was just kind of wondering what you thought about that because I just don't see the Mariners even, you know, their rotation lasting the year. What do you think about
it? Well, see, now, what? And again, you have to put it in perspective compared to where the rest of the league is. If indeed, look at the consequences if you try to break it down. That's going to be 5 to 6 years of bad baseball that you're just not going to want. And so what you want to try to do is be as competitive as you can, as long as you can, and then you do the breakdown. And so obviously the pitching staff is going to be the big question mark all season long. There's no mincing words on that. I mean, that's going to determine it because, you know, last year, you know, they got an offense together that was younger, better, scored 4.7 runs a game, but they gave up 4.7 runs a game, and that makes you a 500 team. Sure, they were under 500 at the end, but that's because they just had a bad week at the end of the season and everything collapsed. But where you look at it this year, if they can tighten some things up, and so much of the problems last year, you're right about Felix, he's dropped off, he's not the ace anymore, moving into the bullpen. I mean, would you really want to have a $25 million player as your relief pitcher when you know he's probably not going to like it? No, that would be one that would be, you know, making a mistake on that. So you just have to try to squeeze as much you can out of Felix and then hope that they could, you know, cut maybe 0.4 runs a game. Like, for example, they're scoring more runs because their lineup, at least they're nine. You would agree that that lineup of nine players is pretty good, wouldn't you?
Well, yeah, and as far as the hitting, I was talking more about the pitching. I mean, the hitting is actually they've got their hitting together. I just I actually forgot that. That just puts another thing to my question. That kind of brings up another situation that I want to talk about real quick. I was listening to Freddie Coleman last night, and they were talking about salary stuff. You know,
right.
How much the players are making this, you know, in this era, especially the basketball players. And now it looks like it's, you know, starting with Jimmy Garofalo and who knows who else. I just think that, you know, I just think that it's gotten out of control. I mean, literally. And I honestly put some kind of blame on the owners and for letting it happen. And I know that, you know, players are only going to last so long. But, I mean, man, I could live off 1 year's salary. Say a guy gets $10 million a year.
Right.
I could live off their interest from that $10 million from the bank for my year. I mean, it's just how much money do you really need? You know,
right.
You spend $100 million in your lifetime? I'm sure you can, but I sure couldn't. I mean, I'd be giving half that money away to people who really need it. And it kind of frustrates me. Every pro athlete will expect a huge contract if they're even halfway good.
Right.
And it really is frustrating. I think the owners have got to do something about it. And it seems like now the baseball owners have kind of started to do that with the lack of free agency signing. I think that might be a wake up call for the owners, and hopefully it will be, because there are some players out there that are worth it. But, you know, like I said, the quarterback situation, it's just amazing how much these salaries are ballooning.
Yeah, but that's just, I mean, again, the support is right there for it, and so can't change it. Why change it? Because, again, the revenue is there. You know, it's not as if these teams aren't making money. And as the revenue goes, because so much now is going on streaming, so much is going on TV, it's just the reality of it. And, you know, it goes up more in baseball. And look at in basketball. If you think it's interesting in baseball, what about $40 million contracts in basketball?
I know. It's ridiculous. So, John, let me end on a good note, and then I'll let you go.
Yeah.
I'm looking more for towards the. I could talk to you all day about the Seahawks, but you know that's another story. I'm excited this year about the Washington Husky football team. I'm really it's amazing what Coach Peterson has done in the 2 years that he's been there. And oh, just to let you know, John, I was listening to, you the other day, and you said that Mike Hopkins sounds like
John Gruden.
Chucky. I think, personally, I think Mike Hopkins sounds more like Chris Peterson if you listen to the audio.
Okay.
It's hard to have someone sound like Chucky because he's got such his own voice, kind of like you do, and Keith Jackson and everybody else, you know, and those real, you know, just people who you know exactly who you are when you hear them on the radio.
Right.
It's just amazing. But the Huskies, I think, man, they have got a shot at the title. I really do. I think it's going to, you know, I think sounds like we're playing Georgia and Auburn for the start of the year or something like that. Well, those aren't going to be two tough games. But well, I'll tell you, I'm excited. I think something special is going to happen this year with the Huskies even maybe next year.
No, I think that you can see good things are happening over there. Hey,
thank you
for the phone call.
It's going to be a great year for Husky football, John. And,
absolutely.
And last but least, you know, I think the Huskies will make the Husky men basketball team will make the tournament. It'll be close. But I think they kind of learned something from the last game in Oregon. Their bubble kind of burst.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's going to benefit them, John, because when you look at it, I mean, they beat two top 25 teams. And
right.
They lost to a good team, but like us, but not a, you know, top 25. I think that'll bring them down to earth and humble them, and it'll make them stronger and look at things with what they need to do with a team to make it to the tournament, because honestly, there is no, I mean, there's, it's the most exciting time of the year, I think, for sports is the March Madness. And,
yeah.
It's just amazing what, I think the Huskies are, you know, the basketball and football, I think our college sports teams in Seattle are doing great for now and the future. So, with that, John, I will let you go.
Greg, I thank you very much. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Patrick in Kent. Hey, Patrick.
Hey, good morning, John.
Good morning.
Long time no hear.
I know. Good to be back.
Yeah, and good to hear your wife is doing all right.
Yes.
As far as the Super Bowl is concerned, that is one of the most competitive Super Bowls I have ever seen.
Oh, that's fantastic. Really good.
A lot of drama, but excitement, too.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, I think, how can you not enjoy a game like that? It was just absolutely fantastic.
I'll just tell you something. That Malcolm Butler, you know, being in the sidelines, that had a lot. That had a huge effect on the Patriot defense. They couldn't stop the Philly offense.
Oh, I agree. I think it was a mistake on the part of Bill Belichick. And again, we can call it a mistake until he at least explains what he was doing and why he did it. But he hasn't done that, and I don't think he will do it. I mean, because that just cost them so much. They just didn't have any type of answer with the cornerback situation to what the Eagles were able to do. They just marched up and down the field.
Oh, yeah. Tell me something. You've been so in a lot of Super Bowls. What's it like to be over there in the stadium during Super Bowl night?
I mean, it's great because, you know, you feel the energy, particularly in a game like this. I mean, you've got the fans that were going crazy. The Eagle fans, I think, outshouted the Patriot fans, and so they probably had more of those. But it was such an electric moment, and you get, you know, the tension that you feel from, you know, driving up and down the field. I mean, it's just great. That's why, you know, you have to love being at the Super Bowl and enjoying the Super Bowl. I mean, it was an absolute blast. But, I mean, the experience is such that, you know, you don't know where things are going to go. You don't know how things are going to go. But you know it's going to be entertaining. It's going to be good.
Yeah. I just noticed when I watched the Super Bowl, it just me that it sounded our Super Bowl crowd was more louder than this one?
I think it was, yeah. And it's hard to tell because, you know, it depends on the venue because I think the fact that the Eagle fans and the Patriot fans, because, again, the Patriot fans have been there so often. They know exactly what they're doing. And so that, I think, gives them an advantage. But, again, the Eagle fans were so loud. I mean, going around the stadium trying to, you know, get the team fired up. I know it was just great from that standpoint, and I think a very unique Super Bowl. I mean, the fact that it was out of the cold. I mean, with the cold out, because it was brutal as far as the cold weather.
Wow, I know. Well, thanks a lot, John. Have a good day.
All right. Hey, thank you. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. It's the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com. Now, more John Clayton.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to John in Seattle. Hey, John.
Hey, John. Hey, I want to talk to you about this blue bar of a situation in the NFL where the Chargers relocated from San Diego to Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
Please tell me that the NFL owners realized that this was a disaster.
I think they kind of get an idea. It's not going very well, that's for sure.
Yeah, I don't see it getting better. Either they can't fill. I went down to a game at StubHub, and it's an interesting venue for a game, that's for sure, but it's not NFL quality.
Right.
I just don't see that. If they can't fill StubHub, when they had actually a darn good run this year towards the end of the year, I don't see how they have any hope at all of filling a bigger stadium in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't want them. L.A. just does not want the Chargers. And on top of that, the Rams are a clearly ascending team that are going to probably gain that and win the hearts of L.A. So is there any way at all that you see this thing coming undone and people coming to their senses in both San Diego as well as the NFL?
No, I think it's going to have to pretty much be the way it is because the Chargers have the commitment right now, and you know they've got so much money involved waiting everything out that they're kind of stuck with the way things are going. So there's really not much they can do. It is a bad situation, I agree. I mean, the venue just does not look right. I mean, you look at it and you go, it's so small, and they have trouble selling it. I mean, that's the thing that's so sad about the whole process is that, you know, here they are, and they're having trouble selling it.
Yeah. Well, I just don't think that L.A. is a football town because they clearly can't – they barely support the Rams.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's such a big market, and the anticipation is going to be there. That's going to be a monster once they get over and get into the new stadium because that new stadium is going to be so good. But, no, it's a big issue right now.
Is there any chance that the NFL would force the Spanos to sell to somebody else, maybe some rich guy?
Nope.
And there's a Taiwanese investor in.
No, because the Spanos have such good support of the family owners that they wouldn't do that. And then you look at the fact that you know what I mean. Other than making a mistake, you know, what did they do wrong? I mean, it's not anything. I mean, they got a competitive team. They try to do the best they can. They got a great quarterback, but no, they're kind of stuck with it. I mean, you know, you wish more forethought went into it because it's just a bad deal.
Yeah, it is. Are there any NFL franchises that are quote unquote on the market?
Carolina and Tennessee or two. Yeah.
Carolina's not moving though.
No, agreed. And Tennessee's not moving.
Yeah. And Jacksonville's now solidified, right? Because they're starting.
For now, yeah. Looks good there. I mean, the owner still likes being there, so he gets to stay there.
Yeah, this is kind of, I've lived through two of these now. I've lived through Seattle losing the Sonics, and now the Chargers leaving San Diego, and it just appalls me for the communities of both these cities.
Oh,
and
yeah,
no
question. Yeah, it's sad. It really is sad.
This is why the NFL ratings, one of the reasons why NFL ratings are down.
Well, I mean,
see them? How do you see this whole concussion thing playing out? Do you feel like something's going to break soon? The NFL is going to, there's going to be some technology, there's going to be something that's going to happen that's going to make it safer for players, or the players are just going to dry up because families won't let their kids play football?
It's something that they really have to be concerned about without question because you need to make sure that the families are going to be on board on all this. You have to have the worry because you know so many families are worried about it. But it's not going to be something that's going to be fixed overnight. It's going to take some time. I mean, that's one of the problems that you have is that the science isn't there to necessarily fix everything up. And so because of that, it's going to be years before they do it. You just try to make little baby steps to get it better. But it's a concern. And if it gets more of a concern, yeah, it's going to hurt the sport long, big time, without question.
Yeah. Aren't the Huskies playing with some new helmets, I think, this coming year?
I believe they are, yeah. And, of course, I mean, there's a new company in town that is doing new helmet stuff. And so the technology is getting better, but it just takes time because, you know, science is still trying to figure out, okay, what is going on with these and what is good and what is bad.
Well, at some point you have the law of physics. You have these massive human beings traveling at incredible speeds for their mm-hmm. size. And when you have contact, it's just there's some things that can't be changed.
Exactly. Hey, thank you for the phone call.
Thank you, John.
All right, 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Ben in Seattle. Hey, Ben.
Hey, John, how are you?
Good. Haven't talked to you in a while.
Yeah, I'm on a drive to Portland, right? I hope your wife is feeling better.
Oh, thank you. I hope so, too.
Okay. My question is short. I know you all talking about the possibility of Jimmy Graham not coming back.
Right.
Is there a way Seattle can franchise him for like 21 no. for 3 years and then groom Vanette and the other younger ones to come up?
No, they're really, because again, I think that they don't want to pay him over $10 million. The franchise number would be somewhere in the neighborhood of like a 12 or 13. No, I think that it's just going to be one where they're going to have to part company, and that's just the reality. It's expensive. They're going to have to, you know, not have as many big contracts in the team.
I don't think you'll make 10 on the market, though.
Was I think he, you know, honestly, when I was kind of doing the numbers the other day, I think he's going to have to take a little bit of a pay cut. And I know we talked to Joel Corey about that. And, you know, with Green Bay or Baltimore or something like that, I think he's going to have to go down to about $7 million
a year. Yeah, that's what I was looking at him saying. If he's going to take seven or seven and a half, they can use that to formulate it to 21 for a 3-year deal. So they can also have a, maybe we have a, if we have a running game. Mm-hmm. He will still need his red zone threat over here, you know.
Oh, there's going to be a loss with him because he's a good player. I mean, he's a Pro Bowl player. They finally figured out the right way to use him in the red zone. That finally came together. That was good. But, you know, now he's 31. He's lost a little bit of speed. Things are a little bit different, and they've got to try to, you know, regroup on a couple of things. I mean, maybe they can I don't think he would take a deal like that for $21 million. Or, you know, over 3 years with the Seahawks, you know, he probably has to go in the market and find something else. So, you know, I think that he's definitely going to be gone, and it's unfortunate, but, hey, that's the way it is.
Well, John, have a good day.
Hey, man, thank you very much. 206-421-ESPN, 866-979-ESPN. Give us a call. Load up the phone lines. It's the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Now, more John Clayton on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Give us a call here as we get moving along on what's a kind of a fun day. Good to be back here on the show because last couple weeks, we're not there. We did the show a little bit later last week. Let's go to Matt in Olympia. Hey, Matt.
Hey, John.
Yes.
First of all, congratulations on the Keith Jackson Award.
Oh, thank you so much.
The next point, I guess, is my concern with James Paxton is if you look through history of athletes, it's like you'd be really hard-pressed to find an example of somebody who had an injury history, recurring injuries, that it just sort of miraculously cleared up. If anything, it's more the opposite way. People like C.J. Prosize, who are very talented but just can't stay on the field. My concern with Paxton is he is incredibly talented, but he also has a really demonstrated history of having a hard time staying on the field.
Right.
And I'm just afraid that everybody's being overly optimistic with his chance of being able to stay on the field all season long.
Mm-hmm. I think that's fair. But I'll tell you one thing to kind of watch for, because I think you're seeing some major changes in baseball. I know that, Jerry DePoto brought this up, and I think it's valid. You know, it's harder now. Pitchers, you know, the athletic pitchers are not coming in as much. I mean, players are coming in and are being more position players than pitchers. And that's now, you know, increased the price of going to get pitchers if you've got good ones. And it's also caused a problem. And I think what you're going to see, and this is going to be the interesting one to follow with the Mariners this year and other teams, you know, having more teams getting away from having their starting pitchers go into the third time around the order. You know, so in other words, going about, not having that. So in other words, you get into the fifth and sixth innings, and now you're going to start to go to your bullpen a little bit more. Maybe the wear and tear of that, if Paxton can come out and give, because again, the number of 200 inning pitchers, as Gary Hill mentioned, and we've talked about before, is diminishing rapidly, because now the trend seems to be, let's go ahead and let's try to, take the starting pitchers and not pitch them as much and go to the bullpen early. That's one of the sabermetric type of things. That's one of the analytic type of things. And it's one of the things that's a reality of what people were doing now. And so maybe that could be the answer, because obviously, you know, the injuries this team had last year, you know, that Felix is older, you know, that Paxton has injuries, you know, that, if you have a guy that can do that, but maybe it could help just in the sense that, maybe they could ease the load on Paxton and not have to, get him deeper into the game. You there?
Yeah. Well, I guess that might work out. I'm just really afraid that it's going to be a continuation of what it's been.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that's the case. But I have a really difficult time trying to find an example through history of somebody who had a history of injuries and then, regardless of whether it was a change of how they used them, with the exception of maybe like Dennis Eckersley,
right,
or somebody who used to be a starter, and then, they kind of cut down part of that. But we'll see. Thanks, John.
All right. Hey, thank you very much. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Tara in Mercer Island. Hey, Tara, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing well.
Congratulations on your award.
Oh, thank you so much. It was a big honor. It was such a great night.
You're welcome. Given Richard Sherman is probably going to stay a Seahawk, do you think people overreacting? Like, do you see maybe less changes happening on the defense than people think?
I think there's going to be a lot. I really do. I mean, that's where the pressure is going to be. I think that's certainly because again, it's unlikely that Cam Chancellor is going to play at this stage, and Cliff Averill is going to not be there probably. You would hope it's going to be minimal, because you want to try to keep as much of this team together, but I still think it's going to be difficult. It's going to be the challenge that, trying to keep the cap working right. That's going to be a challenge, and trying to make sure that they can get enough room to be able to not do things in free agency, because they're not going to really be involved in free agency, because they've got to try to save room to make sure that they can make sure they get the ability to get compensatory picks and draft choices and all those different things. So it's a challenge that's going to be there, but still think there's going to be a bunch of change. I mean, there was more change on the coaching staff than anybody anticipated, and so it may trickle down to there's going to be more of that stuff out there. So just, stay tuned. At least yesterday could have been a day of some change. Obviously, it was the day of no change. So stay tuned. Anything's going to happen this offseason. But again, this team's still going to be competitive enough to still try to compete for the division title. They're not breaking it down.
Yeah, I think that they should still keep their core guys, like Richard Sherman, Earl Thomas. We can't trade him because we're going to want a lot for him.
Mm-hmm.
The only big change I see is maybe us not signing Michael Bennett.
Yeah, I think they'll let Michael Bennett go. I think that's pretty safe to say. That just seems to be something that will be in the cards, and one that you'd like to be able to keep. Again, you can't keep everybody right now. And some things have to go, and I think they definitely want to make a commitment to get a little bit younger. That seems to be something that is a very important thing for them. So, that's going to be part of it.
Yeah, and it's a good time to get younger, because we do have really good young talent, like Delano Hill, Jaron Reed, and other players like that.
No, I think that, because again, it's like, Frank Clark's a good young player. I know that, they like him a lot, as they should. They've got to think about trying to sign him to a deal. They've got to continue to try to figure out where they are in the offensive line. They've got to draft a running back. I mean, it's a bigger shopping list than this team's had and as for change in a long time. But then, hey, that's what happens. You don't make the playoffs. Team's older. You try to run it as best they can, and now you have to kind of make some adjustments.
Thank you for taking my call.
Hey, Tara, thank you very much for calling. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Bill in Gig Harbor. Hey, Bill.
Morning, John.
Good morning.
Congratulations, you and Keith Jackson.
Oh, thank you so much.
Sports authorities. I've got two or three questions, and yep. I want you to critique a couple trade ideas I have for the Broncos. Okay. If you were the Broncos, would you pursue Cousins or Foles, if Foles might be available on a trade?
You gotta go Cousins. And the reason you have to go Cousins is that, you know, they need to make sure they get something. They went young for 2 years, and it didn't work out. And, you know, John Elway is as competitive as you can be. He
yes.
wants to make sure that, you know, he gets something certain. That defense is getting a little bit older. So I don't think they're going to mince any words. I think they're going to try to go for Cousins.
It's an interesting scenario because if they don't get Cousins and Philly's willing to trade Foles, then mm-hmm. you know they're in a stronger marketing position. But one of my trade ideas would, first of all, if somebody else signs Cousins, what do you think Broncos would have to give Philly to get Foles?
See, and I think the problem is if you're the Eagles, you can't even think about it until the summer. That's why John Elway can't worry about Nick Foles because, you know, if all of a sudden there's a setback with Carson Wentz, now you're really in trouble. Now you lose a chance with your team to maybe get to the playoffs and all that. And, you know, they've got to keep Foles as long as they can and then make a decision with him, you know, maybe, you know, down the line. But I don't think you can see anything for the summer. So he's really the one you would almost have to say is off limits.
What do you think he's going to demand or draw for salary for next year at Foles?
The salary's already he's on a 2-year, $11 million deal. It's non-negotiable.
Oh, really?
So he's not going to get any more money. That's just where
if
he
he's
is.
Traded, is he locked into that salary?
He's locked into that salary, yeah.
Well, that's a good deal. Okay, here's my ideas. If they decide to trade for Foles,
uh-huh.
I'm wondering if they would give up their second-round choice, which is the 40th pick in the draft. It's near the top of the second, and their third, preferably the compensatory.
Yeah, they wouldn't do that. I mean, again, because remember, again, he's unavailable. He's unavailable until the summer. Can John Elway wait until summer to try
no.
to go ahead and get a quarterback?
No way.
Yeah, so, I mean, the Foles things you put down the line. If something bad happens at training camp, you get an injury, then you call Foles if Carson Wentz is there. They've got to keep Foles.
Okay. So then I'll only go through one of my trade scenarios and let you critique it. Broncos are drafting fifth. If they sign Cousins,
mm-hmm.
would you trade their fifth to Arizona for their first, which is a 16th pick, the second and a third? If you go by the point value,
right?
The Denver's fifth is worth 1,700 points. The sum of those other three is 1,675. That gives Denver, they can move down to 16 and still get one of the better offensive linemen and then pick up an extra second, an extra third.
Okay, but then what are they doing with those choices?
Second, third?
Yeah, I mean, what?
Oh, they need help. They need middle linebacker. They need wide receiver. They're going to need a cornerback if they release Tlaib, which I think mm-hmm. they have to sign Cousins. It wouldn't hurt to get a safety, tight end. You can draft another offensive lineman.
The only thing that's going to move those type of choices is moving on quarterback stuff. And so
Arizona badly needs a quarterback, so they move up to fifth. They'll get one of the top two or three quarterbacks in the draft anyway. That way they won't mm-hmm. be experienced. But
if they wanted to go for a veteran quarterback?
Arizona?
Yeah.
Yeah, but they could still trade up. And
if they go for a veteran quarterback, they're not going to be doubling down and going up and trading for a quarterback. I mean, the thing is only going to move on the quarterback front is only going to be, I mean, the movement in the top 10 is only going to be on quarterbacks. We watched it last year. I'm sure it's going to be the same this year.
Sure. Yeah, that's true. Well, both them and the Broncos, if they both sign veterans, you know, could draft a, you know, a quarterback like Falk or somebody else down, you know, third, fourth, fifth, sixth round, and groom them, take them. And in the Broncos' case, they've got three to choose from. You know, Simeon, they have Kelly and Lynch, you know, hoping that maybe one of those could eventually be a backup. So, yeah, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, so no, I think, you know, the simple thing is just try the best you can to see if they can land
Cousins.
You know, Cousins. It's going to be tough against the cap, but, hey, they need him, and they need to get something done.
They're going to have to pay him, what, $30 million now? What, with
28 to 30, yeah.
With Garoppolo signing.
Mm-hmm.
That's a huge signing.
It
that
is.
Was a heck of a trade that Lynch made for him.
Oh, yeah, no question.
For a second. Belichick didn't come out so well on that one, did he?
Nope. Same as he did in the Super Bowl. Didn't come out so well on that one.
Well,
maybe he is.
I think he's the best coach of all time, and Brady's the best quarterback. But it's nice to see somebody else come to the top.
It's nice to see a humbling thing like that. And certainly that was a humbling Super Bowl for him.
Okay, you have a nice day. We've got some good weather and hopefully a good weekend.
Okay, that sounds great. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. As we move along here on this app. But tell you what, let's take a break and come back. It's the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Charles in Federal Way. Hey, Charles.
Hey, John, good to hear from you.
Well, thank you.
Hey, my main question revolves around the CBA, and I know to a lot of people it's a snoozing topic, but I'm infatuated with it. I read an article where D. Smith recently said that he was, I think, quote, preparing for war with the owners in the next round of the CBA negotiations. And I was just kind of just wanting your take on it, on what you think is going to be the most contentious element of the next CBA that they're going to negotiate. I know that some of it has been around extending the regular season from 16 to 18 games, but the players' union has said that's just a non-starter. And I guess the other end of it, the second question is, I don't understand why the NFLPA hasn't been able to show the level of solidarity like the baseball union was able to show in the 90s. And I don't know if it's a money issue, and if it is, I don't understand why they've never put together a strike fund like most labor unions would. As much money as the players make, I would figure that as part of their union dues, they would have some strike fund set aside where if they didn't, decide to strike, they could feed each other through the strike. So those are just my questions on that, and I'll hang up and I'll listen to what you got to say. Thanks.
All right, sounds good. Yeah, the big issue is that obviously commissioner control. Now, that's not a monetary issue, but I know that's something that's a very contentious thing right now, something that they're very upset about, something that they are, you know, one that is just, it's not working out well. I mean, they want the, the ability to, not have the commissioner make as hard of a decision as he makes. And so with that in mind, you know, they're going to try to see if they can open some things up and do that. Obviously, from the monetary standpoint, I think that they want to make sure that more money is spent on veteran players, because that seems to be one that is a difficult thing, you know, getting the veteran players to, you know, get as much money. Because what happens is, you know, they took the rookie pool down, and so the rookies didn't make as much money, and you're thinking, okay, so the money's going to be doubling down and going back to the veterans, and in many ways it didn't. And so that's something that's going to be up there. And then just the whole economics and control and all that, I mean, it's one where I think he's realistic in saying that there's a likelihood that there's going to be a lot of labor problems in that. They're upset with a lot of things in this deal, because it did seem not to be very favorable to the owners. Now, as far as what you're talking about with the players, you're right in the sense that, they can put strike funds. But one of the reasons, and I just saw this in the last collective bargaining agreement, was that, you know, players aren't as adamant and as fiery and as union loyal, I guess you could say. You know, they're content. They're content with the money that they're making. They're content with the salary structure that's there. You figure, hey, if we're making $1 million, $2 million, hey, let's not stress it too much. We won't worry about it too much. But no, that is, I think, one of the things that they need to do. They need to rally the troops. They need to make sure that they can at least have more of a a class that's going to, you know, battle and have the wherewithal. And that's why the owners feel that they can win a lot of these battles, because the players eventually will not necessarily cave, but give up and say, okay, well, we got this and we got that. And so that's something that's going to be, you know, whether it's going to be Richard Sherman, whether it's going to be D. Smith, or whoever it's going to be, they've got to try to make sure they do a better job of trying to get the players more active. Because again, you know, if you don't show that, then you're not going to be able to win some of these battles. Thank you for the phone call. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Irish Menke. Irish Menke, how are you?
Hello, Mr. Clayton. Fantastic. And I hope you and Mrs. Clayton especially are doing wonderful, if not fantastic.
We're trying.
Right on. Well, Mr. Clayton, just a quick... It's such a beautiful day out here.
It is sunny. It's a little chilly, but it's warming up. That's good.
Well, I'll just put on an extra sweatshirt and hit the road.
Okay.
Get out there and get a little fresh air and circulate that blood. And
that'd be nice.
Get back in the house and, you know, do what you do on Saturday. Mr. Clayton.
Yes.
So I've been kind of just cruising through all these different mock draft theories of everybody, you mm-hmm. know. Athlon and Bleacher and all kinds of other places. And it seems to me the Irish are hitting a few spots here that are kind of fascinating.
Okay, which ones fascinate you?
Well, the Jets at 8 are going to take all-world Nelson, the guard.
Okay.
And then you've got Seattle. Seattle, they're talking about McClinchy. The other guy that is popping up and competing against McClinchy is this defensive back.
Uh-huh. But then that would cause, I mean, do you think they're really going to stay there at that pick at 18? You know they're not.
Way too young, you know, Mr. Clayton. I'm just saying, as of the article that was written on the 9th mm-hmm. on the Bleacher Report, that's
right.
sort of what they're talking about. Actually, this guy has the Cleveland Browns taking Barkley, number one, from Penn State.
Uh-huh.
And the Giants are going to get the USC quarterback. Chubb is going to Indy. And Mayfield, that dirty boy, that mean old guy, he's going to the Browns.
Okay.
Rawson goes to the Denver Broncos. And actually, they have the Jets' Lamar Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
Going. So, yeah, it's, you know.
It's very early.
It's
don't read much into that.
Clayton, you know, it doesn't anyway. But, Mr. Clayton.
Yeah.
What are you gonna do? What are you gonna do if you don't? Let me tell you this way: it sure is great to be a NFL quarterback, huh?
It is very good. Yeah, a very
and
rich position right now.
If you're the San Francisco quarterback, huh?
Mm-hmm. Garoppolo did pretty well.
Oh, he killed Mr. Clayton. Now you. I've been reading some stuff about, excuse me on that little cough there, I've been reading some stuff about New England and the coach is kind of thinking about hanging up the old cleats, you might say.
That's inaccurate.
That's
false news.
His replacement is the guy that decided not to go to Indianapolis.
All false news. I mean, it's false news as far as Belichick retiring.
Well, I didn't say...
Yeah.
I'm just saying, could that be the possibility
no.
here that
nope.
when they reeled that kid back in?
No, I think he just made a bad decision, more so than anything else.
To go head coach?
Yeah, because, I mean, you know, he killed himself as trying to get jobs with other teams. Killed
right,
him.
Right, but I'm sure the kid has aspirations of being a head coach, right?
Yep, and he's screwed up. I mean,
well,
he'll eventually get, the head coaching job of the Patriots.
Well, that's the point I'm kind of getting at is you know, this deal with Belichick, he's kind of hit the end here, don't you think?
I mean, he's been to 8 Super Bowls.
It seems like he's been there an awfully long time.
Yeah.
Was he one more Super Bowl and then he hits the highway?
No, I think he still likes to coach.
Well, I know he likes to coach, but... Isn't there? I thought I heard rumors of he'd like to coach the Giants.
I was wrong. That was incorrect.
But you know, well, who knows? Maybe he can flip with Saban at Alabama, huh?
No, Saban's going to stay at Alabama.
Coaching?
No, that's not changing.
You know, anyway. Mr. Clayton.
Yes.
You know, I hope you have a fantastic day. It's so great to have you back on.
It is good to be back. I thank you so much because, again, I missed everybody last week and the last 2 weeks. Of course, we were able to get on a little bit later last week, but it's great to be back.
No, I know you were busy doing all, you know, how can us callers compete with a Super Bowl? How can we compete with well, how's the banquet circuit treating you, Mr. Clayton? That's what you just did. You went on the banquet circuit.
No, I went to the Super Bowl and had a family issue that I had to take care of. So.
Right, okay.
No, there was no banquet. Hey, Irish, thank
Mr.
you.
Clayton, say this all, go Irish.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Jeff. Oh, okay, we'll take a break right now, come back with Michael Sean Duggar. We'll talk some Seahawks and NFL coming up next. It's John Clayton.